B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, thanks to the bro for hanging out. That was fun. I will end the conversation on one with one statement. I love the Phillies. And just like I told my boy, I love the Phillies, but they have done me and all of you a disservice. They were insignificant for years and didn't spend money. They had oodles of opportunities to build a farm system, a real farm system, to draft well, to build Latin America, and they have failed in every sense of the word. The general manager is foolish, and is inept. The president is completely arrogant and obnoxious and doesn't care about the fan base, and quite frankly, is an interloper. And I'm not going to be happy for this ball club until they get someone that can actually handle right this ship. And that can be a proper steward. But they've done you guys a disservice. And me. Because I love them. I love them. And they have failed. And I'm not going to sit here everywhere. Oh, and hope. You know, I'm wishing on a leprechaun.
How about that?
All right, you got to hear this. It's, by the way, 11:58. You're listening to 97 by The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station, broadcasting actually today from the fabulous Fieldhouse, Delaware Blue Coats, here in Wilmington, Delaware. All right, take a listen. This is the J.J. Redick Podcast. Special guest, Jimmy Butler.
We talked about this with Zach in Chicago. We talked about with a couple guys about like how different teams have different dynamics in terms of like how social everybody is. Do you think it like makes a difference? Like is a team getting along or hanging out on the road? Like, can you have a good team if you don't do any of that, or does it sort of not matter?
I don't think so. I really don't. Like, I think that you can get along with each other on the court and make it work. But sooner or later, like, if you don't like the individual, it'll start to trickle its way on the court. If you don't like to be around them, cause you're around them like so often that if you're not vibing with off the court a little bit, like if you just, I mean, I got to avoid it, but I'm gonna just handle my business on the court. It don't work like that. It don't. Cause now in the back of your head, it's like, I really don't with this dude, but he's my teammate. Like, I think everybody got to be on the right page, or you just got to be honest about it. Like, if you honest about it, be like, yo, look, I don't with you, but I'm coming to win, which a lot of people not going to say and do. I think that's okay. But people not just going to come and be like, yo, look, we here to win. I don't with you, but let's win this championship. No, I don't work like that.
You've been in both locker rooms, right? You've experienced both sides of that.
Yeah.
Have you ever told someone I don't fuck with you? Maybe not in those words.
I'm trying to think. Nah. Cause look.
Sometimes I wish that guys would just say that to each other.
I agree.
Think that's,
it's not that I don't fuck with you. You may not fuck with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you
that's
won't
a
say
good
it.
Point. Yeah. That's a good
you
point.
You won't say it.
That's a good point.
Are they just scared to say it to you?
Probably so. But, not too many people are like, real ones, quote unquote, or that's going to tell you exactly how it is. I would like to think that I am like that. Like, I'm going to tell you when you're on some I'm going to tell you when I think that you could do better, yada, yada, yada. And I think people don't like that, but a lot of people aren't like that. Like, they're not going to tell you like that.
Was last year difficult for you?
Yeah.
Not just getting traded, but the whole in the summer preseason.
Yes. Yeah. Hell yeah, it was difficult. Man, it was so different. And on any given day, me as a person, as a player, I didn't know who the fuck was in charge. I think that was my biggest thing. I didn't know what the fuck to expect whenever I would go into the gym, whenever I go into the plane, whenever I go into the game. I was like, man, I think I was as lost as a net.
Meaning there was just
that was
a lot of voices.
Yeah.
And a lot of input from a lot of different places.
And just so much going on any given day. I was like, yep, I guess I'm just here to work. I didn't even know who to talk to.
At what point did you like realize that? At what point did...
And that fucking meeting in the office that I told you that. I told you that. I was like, I cannot believe.
Wait, when Brett brought Brett brings me, you,
Joe and Ben.
Joe and Ben. This is pre-Tobias trade.
Yeah.
Was this before or after the, obviously I'll tell my side of the story about what happened in Portland with you in the meeting
that
got reported. This is before or after that? I don't remember. It was before.
It was before.
Before we went on that West Coast trip,
it was before. And we're all sitting in there, and nothing got accomplished at all. So I was like, and I told you this as we walked out. JJ, why would I ever go back in there again? Nothing's getting accomplished. Nobody's saying nothing to anybody. And we just sitting in here watching film, and you can literally hear the thing just clicking. And we all just looking around. But you got to think. Now, I'm just like, I may have been 2-3 weeks there tops.
Yeah, it was the first month.
Probably, easily. So, you know what? I'm sitting back and I'm watching. I ain't saying nothing because don't nobody know me like that. When I first got to Philly, what did you think of me?
I didn't know.
What do you think of me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting back and I'm relaxed. I'm like, these think I'm like, oh, anyways, let me be quiet.
All right. So I want you guys to know that this is, if you just tuned in, the J.J. Redick podcast with special guest Jimmy Butler. And they're talking about life with the Sixers. So there's a specific incident in Portland when Butler challenged Brett Brown. And this is part of the precursor. So this is the story. Again, the J.J. Redick podcast with Jimmy Butler.
So I'm sitting back. I'm hearing it. Click. Click, I'm looking around. Click, click. All right, guys, let's go practice. Why did we just go through this? That's literally what's going on in my head. So I come to you. I said, JJ, why would I go back in there again? We didn't do nothing. Nothing got accomplished. So now we fast forward to however many weeks is over there, and we're in Portland. And then that happens during the film session because, once again, wasn't nobody saying nothing. So who was the individual that decided to finally say something?
Here's the f***ed up part. You did one thing wrong.
What did I do?
Nothing you said about the team was wrong. I thought your interaction with Brett that day was like a normal interaction. I don't know why it got reported the way it did. Yeah, because you were coming off whatever happened in Chicago, whatever happened in Minnesota. Yeah, I get it. But nothing was weird. But so he's like, there's some tweaks to the offense. I think some other guys on the team feel the same way. And who did he throw under the bus?
I didn't throw him under the bus.
You threw the nicest guy. You threw TJ McConnell under the bus.
I did not throw him under the bus. I did not say his name.
Jimmy goes, TJ wants more pick and
roll. I did not say that. This is what I did. Okay. I did not say TJ. He said, who else feels the type of way about it? Now keep in mind, everybody comes to talk to me because they know I'm not afraid to be that. So I would say I talked to him. Brett asked a great question. Who else feels a type of way about something? All I did, I didn't hear nothing behind me. I just knew somebody was going to speak up because I had talked about five people. Crickets. So I turned around and the first person I just happened to lock eyes with was TJ. So Monty goes, yo, no, for real. Now's the time. TJ was like, well, you know, I was like, TJ, man, if you don't say what you got to say. And I love TJ. I talk to TJ all the time. But I just felt like it's okay to speak your mind. Ain't nothing wrong with it. The worst thing that Brett could have said was, fuck you. No. And then you just go back to just being quiet. But at least you get to say what you got to say.
You know how I feel about Brett. Yeah. I love Brett and all that. I know your relationship wasn't the same, but
sure was not.
Towards the end of the year, though, as we did sort of tweak how the offense was run, especially in the playoffs, mm-hmm. where you were playing on the ball more. Did that relationship evolve at all, or was it strictly a professional relationship?
I would say it was professional, but to this day, I don't think that was fair. to switch over like that. Even though I think we played great basketball like that, I don't think it was fair because the entire year, Ben had the ball. The entire year, yeah. Ben had the ball.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me that in one playoff series, you just switch it up like that? I would be like he was. I would feel a type of way. I would feel a type of way. I would think that it's f***ed up to play one way the entire year and then be like, you know what? Boom, this is how we're going to do it. And I used to tell bro, I was like, bro, I think we should mix in me handling the ball a little bit. No, we do A to B. We do this. Cool. But I would be pissed. And I mean, I'm not going to complain about it, but I don't think that was the best way of doing it, in my opinion.
When that Kawhi shot went in,
yeah.
What was going through your head?
What was going through my head? A lot. A lot was going through my head, man, and I already knew how I believe it would have worked out if that shot wouldn't have went in and we go into overtime and we win. So the shot goes in, we go back to the locker room. I'm in awe a little bit. And then after like everything settles down, the first thing that comes to my mind legit is, will I be back here? Will I have an opportunity to do this again with these guys? And to tell you the truth, I had a feeling that it would be a no. I had a feeling that it would be a no. But I would say that's the first thing that ran through my head was, yo, are we actually going to be able to run this back? And if I'm being honest, I was like, nah, it's not going to happen.
That was my first thought too.
Yeah.
Was like, well, not my first thought. There's a disappointment. There's tears. No, there's a hug your teammates. Yeah. But then like, it's like the realization, like, dude, I might not get this close again. Right. You think that? I knew I wasn't coming back when I had my exit meeting with Elton. And he didn't say that to me, like, we don't want you back. I just knew, like, I was only going to go back there if they had no other options, basically. That was the vibe I got in that meeting. So I kind of knew. When did you know?
I knew I wasn't going back. Now, before I say this sentence, do you think I'm, like, just that hard to work with? Am I hard to work with?
Is this the phone call after free agency? Is this from the phone call? Is this what you're talking about?
No. This is before the phone call.
I don't think you're hard to work
right?
with. Yeah.
No, I'm not hard to work with. So I ain't throwing nobody under the bus since you think that I seem to throw people under the bus. Somebody told me a main reason that I didn't go back was because somebody asked, can you control him? Like, can you control Jimmy? If you can control Jimmy, we would think about having him back. I was like, you don't got to worry about it. Can't nobody control me. For one, I ain't just out there doing no but the fact that you're trying to control a grown man, nah, I'm cool. Because I don't do nothing that's just drastically stupidly crazy. I do not do that. So don't sit here and come at me with the, oh, we got to try to control him. Nah, you good. Don't even worry about it. And that was my whatchacallit. You ain't got to worry about me coming. I'm not. If that's what y'all worried about, I think, man, good luck to y'all.
All right, there it was.
Wow.
The J.J. Redick podcast with Jimmy Butler. Man, it makes your head spin, right? As they kind of dive into and pull the curtain aside at some of the stuff that went on.
How about that? The not the Portland thing, but before that, where he goes, what was the point of that? We didn't film session? Yeah, we didn't get anything out of that.
Well, the real damning piece is not the control. I mean, the control thing, listen, if I was to talk to Jimmy, I'd say, Jimmy, it's not about controlling you. It's a poor choice of words.
Right.
It's that, are you going to disrupt the whole thing? And it's not like you haven't disrupted things before.
Right.
But he can say all he wants. Am I difficult? Well, it all matters who's who, right?
Right. That's when you say, we got to be real here. And you have that conversation.
But he said something that is pretty, pretty damning. Who's in charge?
Yeah.
I mean, when I sit down and you read it and you go, on any given day, I didn't know who was in charge.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's kind of like when we had Salisbury on last week, or earlier this week, right? The whole, the difference between Girardi and Kapler. Kapler would say, all right, guys, what are we doing here? Whereas Girardi would say, this is what we're doing, and you're going to like it. That's kind of like what it comes off of there. It's just, maybe Brett was going, what do you guys think? Like, you're the boss. You're the coach. You make the rules.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's you know, it's amazing the perspectives and, you know, and it's interesting, like, handling the ball. He talked about handling the ball and then maybe he should have. Now, like, again, Jimmy's going to say it through Jimmy's eyes, right?
So, right.
To make Jimmy look good. You know, listen, he's half of a J.O. You know that.
Yeah.
You know he's,
yeah, we know that.
He's an a-hole, right? Like, you know he is.
Yes.
Like, you can only imagine having to work with him daily.
Yes.
Right? Like, you were talking about, like, not caring about what anybody says and flinging word. Like, I, you know, you hear stories that are just like, you know. And you wonder why Jay Wright would never want to coach right. in the NBA. Right? Like, that's just the bottom line.
Jimmy don't want no cheesesteak.
Right. Like, right. you know. So, but what he talks about, you know, not understanding who's in charge, like, the first inclination is, like, you want Brett to go, me, MF-er. You right. know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know.
Jimmy's one of those guys where I think he challenges people. Like, he wants somebody to say that.
Yes.
Like, he wants to
I think he needs
that.
It.
Yes.
I think he craves it. Where you go, oh, who's in charge? Who do you think is in charge? You know, I don't care how much money you make.
All right.
You know.
Then show it.
So I think that's a big deal, you know. And when he talks about, you know, handling the ball, he's right when it comes to, like, handling the basketball and incorporating that early.
Well, and he also mentioned that Ben felt a certain type of way about that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Ben wasn't too happy.
Well, think about it. You go from
the
guy with the ball in his hands
yeah.
to going around, running around in the four spot, you know, basically not touching the basketball. Right.
You get to the playoffs, you help get that team yeah. to the playoffs, and then they go, hey, you're not good enough for the playoffs.
It's tough, man, because you have polished guys. Like, Butler's game's polished. And then you have guys who aren't ready, who aren't polished.
And you could say that Butler was the reason why you're in the series.
But who aren't talented.
Yeah.
And Embiid's, and you know, you have the Embiid factor. Wow.
Interesting.
It really is. In case you missed it, we will play once again coming up at 1:30. Because I think it's that important to hear. Again. All right. We'll take your phone calls on it. Straight ahead. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. All right. No secret on Philly Pride. We always talk about 4-for-4 and the whole thing. Well, next week starts the tournament. In fact, World of Conference tournament starts today, man. They've been going all week long, but it ramps up today. There's a lot of games. Tunis. Tons of games on Tunis.
Yeah, it's that time of the year.
Oh, it's awesome, man. Think about it, right? You got St. the Joe's playing today at 1 o'clock, right? You got some good ones going on. Pac-12 is coming up today. The ACC starts today. Tunis. You got Big East, St. John's, and Georgetown tonight. All kinds of incredible stuff. ND and Boston College, Big 12. All.
And you got Sixers back.
Yes, and it's all there at the Parks Casino Sportsbook. You got to check out the Sportsbook. It's incredible. Or download the app. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and download that app. Use promo code CUZRADIO. You get up to a $500 free bet. That's right, up to a $500 site credit when you use Cuz Radio. Just remember, for the tournament, the whole thing, go there. Come, we'll be hanging out doing shows. Make Parks your hometown. Parks Casino and Sportsbook, your sportsbook of choice. Got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Got a peek inside the curtain. The J.J. Redick podcast with Jimmy Butler as they talk about last year and the Sixers. And, you know, it's amazing, right? Because through all the issues that they had, and certainly issues with Brett, Both of them talked about if Kawhi didn't make that shot and they went into overtime, they both intimate that they would have won.
Yeah. I kind of feel like we all felt that way too, right? I mean,
which is completely fascinating, the fact that they, through it all, the way they match up with Milwaukee, the way they were playing, they could have won if they would have beaten Toronto in overtime.
Yes.
They could have beaten Milwaukee, and theoretically, you know, I mean, Golden State has the issues.
They had all the injuries, yeah. I mean, I think we've all sort of been saying that. We've all been feeling that way. But to hear the players say that, like, it's one thing for us to be like, yeah, like, I think they would have matched up well. I think they would have had a shot. But, I mean, Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick, they're saying it themselves. Like, yeah, we could have beaten that team. And then we could have got to the finals, and it would have been a wrap with all those injuries.
Yeah.
It stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
The word of, like, the month has been sucks for me.
Yeah. It has.
It just sucks.
It's terrible.
It was such a fun ride last year,
when
too.
When you hear them talk about Brett, and the thing that's damning the most is the control aspect. Like, who's in charge?
Yeah, that's a problem.
You know, and that seems, you know, again, that's been an underlying, you know, talk. We've had this conversation for a while, this underlying conversation about, you know, being in charge and, you know, and they've tried to change the team and they tried to, you know, remake this team.
You know what stands out even more now?
It's a shame, yeah.
And I've brought this up a few times this year because I thought at the beginning of the season, Brett was kind of doing the same thing. When they made the trade for Tobias, now all of a sudden you had a whole new roster, right?
Right.
And they were positionless basketball last year. They still are this year, but last year especially. Brett said during one of his post-game press conferences that I'm just sort of rolling the ball out there and I'm letting them figure it out. Like, I want to see who meshes well with each other.
Right.
Who stands where, who feels most comfortable. Like, when I hear Jimmy Butler say, I didn't know anyone who was in charge. Brett, I guess he was just like, here, you guys figure it out.
I don't, you know.
At first, I thought that was a good thing, just let them figure it out. But now when Jimmy's saying there was nobody in charge.
Right, but I think what he was doing was trying to figure out who goes well with whom.
Right.
Right, when you got he had two new teams, basically.
Yeah, I know, I get that.
You know?
But when Jimmy Butler wanted control, not he personally wanted control, he wanted somebody to control the team.
No, I agree.
It wasn't there.
No, I know. No, that's the damning piece of it. And J.J. Redick didn't exactly, now he said he loved Brett, but he didn't exactly go into Russ
to
his
wrong.
Defense.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to Lewis in Pensauken. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sweet Lou.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, how you feeling, bro? On the road, man. I had to go pick up my son because they canceled the classes, bro.
They did?
Yeah, man. I'm heading down Baltimore now to pick him up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. So, crazy. But here's the thing. I was a big Brett Brown supporter, man. I really was, man. I really liked the guy. I really thought that he was doing a pretty good job with holding the fort down as far as with the process and try to keep some type of stability. But he's not the guy that's going to take you to the next level. I'm just sorry. He's just not.
Right.
And see, what happens is, yeah, I understand we have a new team and stuff like that, and he's talking about figuring stuff out. Hey, Ant, look at Miami. You got two undrafted free agents in the backcourt. And what's their record right now?
Yes.
And we're on a rookie. Oh, come on, man. We get this guy a pass so much, man. To me, what happens is when you can talk about Jimmy all you want, but he's saying the same thing. What did Glenn Robinson say when he got in? And people are striving for him. What did he say? I don't know my role.
Right.
He's probably, if you listen to the way he talks in circles. He talks in metaphors. He's not direct or upfront with things, man. Some people can't handle it. Some people need to be taught and told what to do, how to do it.
Exactly. I feel you. I do. I understand it. I get exactly what you're talking about. And maybe, you know, he's not authoritative enough and say, hey, listen. And I don't know how that is. Like, I don't know. Is he more, you know, one of these guys that's, I've seen him in practice and I've seen him around. He seems like about, you know, again, it's hard to tell unless you're in, you know, in the sanctuary of the meetings and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and here's what I'm saying, though. And listen, you don't have to be a guy that curse people out. Stuff like Joe Gibbs is never like that. But one thing he said was, I got to know who I put my arm around and who do I put a foot up when they behind. And
right.
That's what it is. And to me, he does everything, but he's not that guy that's going to put a foot in somebody's behind. He's just not. And sorry, but when you deal with those type of strong, especially strong personalities, you look at Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good coach. But everybody can't coach a superstar player. Everybody can't do that. It takes a certain type of person.
I agree. This league is so tough. You're right. Lewis, you're dead right, man. And you know what's funny? Because, you know, he talked about Miami and a buddy of mine who knows a lot about that situation was like, one of the reasons why Jimmy likes Miami is because everybody knows the deal that Pat Riley's in charge. And Spoelstra is his man.
Yeah.
And that no one would ever dare usurp Pat Riley. Unless
exactly.
I've been around Pat Riley. And I know he's a guy that, you know, you fall in line. Like, you have this utmost. Even as a reporter, I remember thinking, wow, man. And I sat with him in his house at Star Island in Miami for like 3 hours one day. He was going smoking one Marlboro Light after another. And we're sitting there, and you go, wow, this is a man of great respect. So I can see how the organization is run like that. That's a great point by you, Lewis.
Yeah, like great I said, point. Man, to me, he would be great. Let him go to the Knicks. He'd be great to start a team, that a franchise that has issues like that.
Yeah, you're right. Different stages. You're right. I'm sorry, Lou. Could be careful, man. Driving down there, brother.
That's crazy. Canceling the classes.
I know. Scary. But getting back to it, that's it. You know, it's interesting what my buddy said. And, you know, you can see it, right? If you go, listen, Pat Riley's in charge and Spoelstra's his man and you don't disrespect either of those guys.
Yeah.
Because that's how it is. You know.
That means a lot for Jimmy, too.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's not going to cross any of those guys. He's not going to cross Pat Riley.
Nope. No, nobody does. They have respect.
Yeah, and then Pat Riley can say, oh, yeah, all right, and then he ships him out somewhere.
Right.
And
not only that, because Riley's vindictive. He'll say, you know what? I'm going to ship you to where you want to go.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to go to L.A.? I'm going to send you to Memphis.
Yes.
Or I'm going to send you to whatever. I'm going to send you to Minnesota, where it's called, to Minnesota.
And I'm sure other GMs and presidents around the league respect what Pat Riley says.
Right.
They can be like, you don't want to deal with this guy.
Yeah. Let's go to Sam in England. Across the pond we go to Sam. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, man. How are you?
What's up, my brother?
I'm good. Can you understand me, Rox? Right? I rang the morning show earlier to apologize to Mark for some Twitter stuff, but he said they couldn't understand everything I said, so I don't know if you can understand everything.
I got you. Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to tonight's game. I've missed a bit of basketball, and I think that, you know, obviously you guys, probably like I would with the EPL, even though they just cancelled a game tonight, but... Manchester City versus Arsenal. So because Arsenal went to Greece to play in the Euro game, they met the coach who then had coronavirus, and they shook hands with him. It was a couple of weeks ago, but they've played a few games since. and so they've been exposed, so they've cancelled the game. But so yeah, but it, the thing is, it's the same as you guys. I'm looking forward to the game, and I think because I don't get to see it as often as you guys, I might be just a bit more excited. Like me and my UK friends, we're a bit more excited to see the games because you put your clocks for, you've already put your clocks back, so we've got the game start at 11 p.m. our time rather than midnight, so we get, you know, I can stay up for that game. So I'm looking forward to the games this week and next week.
Listen, I'm with you. It just feels good to have him back, and I get your standpoint, but it feels good to have him back and ready to play. But this story, how do you read this, Sam? To me, you know, this is a monster story, this podcast.
Oh, I mean,
it feels like another stake in Brett's heart.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of his stuff will be exaggerated, but there's going to be some sort of, you know, there's something there that he might exaggerate it to make, like you say, make him look better. I think with Miami, you made a good point. The respect's there. I think maybe, I could be wrong. Again, I don't know the X and O's of basketball and how it works in the United States from kids and upwards, but maybe Brett just got used to coaching kids, you know, because, you know, we always had these young players in, he brought in some veterans to try and, you know, like Bowen Morton and...
No, that's a good point. Like that, you go from, you know, coaching processors to then coaching real pros, it's a big deal. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and maybe didn't give Jimmy that little bit of leeway, because Jimmy obviously wants that bit of, like you said, you want, you know, tell Graham Allen what to do. You know, you need to have rules, but it's respecting those rules and building around it, same as in a work environment. So maybe he just didn't get that leeway, like, and that's what I'm thinking. But I think some of the other stuff, and I completely agree with you, and you know, we all thought of that ball in bouncing off those quadruple doinks that we had gone over time and beaten them. And then, you know, kind of Warriors were a bit busted up. We don't want to win a ring when there's 70 injuries, but we're going to take that, right? So we would have gone to the finals and probably won ourselves. So I think we would have won if we got to the finals and if that triple joint didn't go in. So, but yeah, I'm really excited for tonight. And, you know, I'm trying to look, which we're trying to go, because, well, I said to you a few weeks ago, my wife's mum passed away. We're trying to get me and the kids over to Philly. We're trying to get to a game, trying to work out the finance of it all, because my kids want to go to their first Sixers game. So I want to take it to a game this season. So I'm all excited. I'm still in for this season.
You gotta be still in. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I'm like, you know, listen, there's really no alternative but to stay in.
Exactly, you know, we could still be built for 16, you never know. Before I go, I just want to give it, there's two guys in the coffee, and I'm three, Dwayne Clark and Travis Lindemeyer. They both look after me, it's their birthday, he's just staying today. I want to say happy birthday to him for myself on national radio so they can hear, because they always look after me, and I'm out there, meet up with me at Sixers games. Travis lets me stay at his house, and Dwayne's always been out with me,
and
at Sixers games. So they're friends for life, you know, so I appreciate everything they do for me when I come over to Philly.
That's great, man. You got it, brother. Happy birthday to those guys. Appreciate
cheers,
it, Sammy.
You take
cheers,
care,
my friend. Always good to talk to you, buddy. Let's go to Jay in Wayne. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay. Hi, Jay. Jay's not there. All right, let's go to Chris in Pensauken. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Ant?
Hey, Chris.
Oh, That was damning, that interview, man. that's like when you broke up with your first love and you knew you'd never get back with her, and 2 years later you found out your best friend was like banging with her the whole time. That was just horrible.
Oh, I know. I hear you, brother.
I'm tired of saying the guy's a nice guy, and you know that don't find him words. He's just not the guy, man. It's just, and here's the damning part, and it, at the end of the day, they're rudderless. The whole organization's rudderless. I mean, we got Elton Brand, great guy, very, very, very fresh to being a GM, a newbie, and he has all Calandra's dudes up on him. We didn't even get rid of them, so what's going to change? It's like when you go home, you keep telling your kid, yo, hey, Moss, did you do your homework? And he says, yeah, and you go, let me see. And you go, well, you didn't do it. He said, well, I'm going to do it today. Well, no, that ain't how it works, man.
I know.
There's no structure.
And obviously, I mean, you heard in Butler's voice about craving structure, right? Listen, he's a nightmare. You know he's a nightmare to deal with, right?
Oh, like, he's a menace to society.
Well, you can imagine, right? Like, you know, just the whole idea about control. It's like, dude, nobody meant it like they want to control you as a man. They make sure that you're not going to disrupt things, that you're going to go buy in to Ben and Joe. Let's be real. The whole thing revolves around Embiid and Simmons, right? You're not going to win without Embiid and Simmons and those guys evolving as players. Where's Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, whoever it is?
Yeah, well, the thing is, Ant, everything changes every year, Brett, and you don't see it with other teams. I watch other teams, but I don't watch your practices or anything like that, or follow a 5-for-5 guy like you.
Sure.
But you watch them in indoor practices and beat shooting in sliders. You got him playing tennis. You got Ben staying back with his girlfriend. You just don't see it on other teams, man. Put it this way. If you let Massimo eat ice cream every night for dinner, you think 30 days from now he's going to eat chicken and broccoli?
Exactly.
No, I mean, man. Yeah, of course. And the thing is, Ant, they whacked me again, and I bought in again. I re-upped again. I went 23% increase 2 years ago to another 20% increase this year. I went from $4,000
to $7,400. Let's forget them. I'm not going to get involved in the money situation, right? But here's the one thing, Chris. They have ability. Now, whether or not they change the coach and they do whatever they do, this is a fun ride, right? I mean, like, you know, you know what I'm saying. You know, it's aggravating at times, but my point is that there is still something here. Like, you should. I know what kind of sports guy you are, so you know.
I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it for my kid, and I'm going to do it for me, man. I believe 5-for-5, and I know I'm sure for time. No, this isn't. I used to race cars and motorcycles growing up outside of sports. It's like you got the fastest muscle car down on Oregon Ave. You're racing on Friday night at 11 p.m. Just say I did it back in the day illegally. But then you can go out and you fire it up. And you know you beat that guy, but you got no brakes. This team got no brakes, man. They're just running into walls, man.
Rutgers, I appreciate that. It's a great analogy. You too, my brother. You have a great one, my man. Thank you. All right, we're live at this great spot, man. The Field House in Wilmington.
Awesome place.
Blue Coach. Having a blast, Junis.
Yes. You met the mascot.
I did. Yeah, he was cool.
Cody.
Yep. It's a lot of fun over there. As we hang from the Field House for a little afternoon hoops with the Blue Coats. All right, sit tight because we got lots to talk to. This story is a very important one when it comes to the future of the health of this club. Hey, listen, I tell you all the time, we're living in a 5-for-5 city, right? You know, this is all about us, the whole thing. You got to know Union, man. March 14th, Saturday night, your first chance to catch the Philadelphia Union at home this year after last season's epic playoff win over New York. If you missed that wild comeback, you missed the Union's best season in franchise history. Amazing, right? You missed the club record goals. You missed the sold-out crowds down at Subaru Park. You missed all the action, all the fun. Catch all of it right back. Union's back Saturday night, home opener. You got to believe they're hungry for more. And you heard it from me, Captain Alejandro Bedoya. He's back. And after making national headlines on and off the pitch, that's right, local kids, Brendan Aronson, Mark McKenzie, they're making their names today. So guess what? Now they're on the U.S. national team. Can you believe it? If you haven't been to Subaru Park and you haven't seen it rocking before, it does, man. It's a great time. Check it out. Watch this exciting Union team rep the city. Get out there Saturday, March 14th, this coming Saturday, 7:30, PhiladelphiaUnion.com for tickets. At Philly Union on social media. See you at Subaru Park Saturday night. Let's go, Union.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 12:51 live at the Field House right here in Delaware, Wilmington. Little hanging out, Blue Coats So I still can't get over this podcast.
It's amazing.
JJ's a snake too, man.
I don't like him. He's a fraudulent human being.
He is a snake.
You're
because
right.
He comes across as...
I'm so great. Well, I'm a nice teammate.
That, right. He comes across as though, you know, Jimmy. Come on, dude.
And you know, as soon as he sits down with Brett, it's going to be, I love you, Brett. You know? Like, he's one of those guys who, as soon as you're out the room, he'll start talking smack about you. That's JJ Redick.
But is the message, you know, again, we need to talk about the message.
Oh, it's fascinating, the message.
Is the message right? And, you know, I mean, ultimately, look, Brett's fate will be decided this year and
soon
in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'll always love him. I'll feel bad. But, you know, if they need a new voice, a new direction, you know, then you got to get it done. You got to figure it out.
This is. Let me ask you something, because you're a man who knows how franchises are run. Does somebody from the Sixers listen to that?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yes.
Do they take things into account, or do they think?
Well, first of all, they do take care. They do look at the source, and they look at Jimmy and JJ, and that's self serving,
right?
Right, like, you know, again,
and they know JJ or Jimmy.
Again, and Jimmy is a pain in the rear end.
Yes.
A giant pain.
Yes.
And, you know, and he's an a-hole. Like, you know, he just is. Like, you can see, you know. But he's a terrific player. He's accomplished. He's smart. He knows the game. And, you know, you got to take both sides of it. As big as, you know, empowered as Jimmy is as a player, and you know, he can disrupt, as we saw in other places. He's also a guy that, you know, makes valid points, and he knows the game.
I think he's one of those guys that just wants leadership. He wants to be told to shut up.
I don't know. Maybe.
I think he does.
Maybe. You know.
Like, I think guys want to be coached to a certain extent. Some guys want to be coached. And I think some guys need to be told to be, shut up. I'm the boss here.
Yeah.
You know, because he's one of those guys where you give him a little bit of a leash, right? He'll keep going.
Yeah, except.
And that leash keeps on growing.
Yeah. Yeah. Except the one thing about him that you do have to be careful is that with him, you got to get him, like, to. I'd like to see him actually buy in somewhere, right? Like, he still doesn't want. Say what you want. But he's another one. This is four stops now. At some point, it's not everybody else. It's you, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true.
You know, when it comes to Jim. Like, Jim's a talented player, but you're...
Well, yeah, as soon as something happens with the Heat, is it going to be somebody else's fault?
Exactly.
Or is it his
like,
fault?
Sooner or later, you go, yo, dude. You know?
Look in the mirror.
Right. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, Anthony?
What's up, brother? Thanks, man. What's happening,
go,
Chris?
Go, man. You know, I'm a little disappointed. I think that's really revealing, the interview that you played earlier. I believe that Brett Brown got 1 year too many. I think that he definitely got rid of him last year. And I believe that a team with Jimmy, Simmons, and indeed Paul would have made the finals this year. I do believe so.
That a team with this year and last year, say it again?
This year. Yeah, like if we would have let go of Brett Brown last year,
oh, that's
and we would have kept
so him, run it back. See, the only with problem Jimmy is you Simmons couldn't run with Jimmy Simmons and B. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I honestly can't make. I don't know if that's enough. I don't know if with B.
Put it this way, I believe that Jimmy is a better player than for sure. Horford and Richardson.
Well, I believe, but he's a different player. He's a different type of player. The other right. issue that you have with Jimmy is the Jimmy Ben thing. Like, who's going to handle the ball?
Well, that's the thing. I was thinking about that. I also believe that Simmons right now is not going to be able to handle the ball still because he can't shoot. So I think that either way, that was going to bound to happen. Because I believe Richardson has been handling the ball with him lately. I just think that Simmons...
Well, I don't know, though, because remember against the Clippers, he was handling the ball, but he was also... He was scoring. He was attacking the rim. Forget about not shooting.
Right.
There's a difference between not shooting and still attacking the rim and scoring. So he was scoring.
Right. You're
and
right.
Hinder the development of Simmons. Again, I'm not professing to have the answer. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out.
Right.
That I know that I need to build around Simmons. I've already seen it, right? Go ahead.
I guess my point is, I don't think Brett Brown's a guy because I feel like there's no culture in this team. Like when the Eagles won, we had a culture, you know, and it's because of leadership. There's no leadership in this team because there's no culture. Brett Brown is not a leader. He really
is. No, I hear you. And I feel you.
And it's disappointing to me that, you know, I've gone through the process, you know, it's tough watching them suck for that many years. And we had a team last year that could have made it. We had the right coach. I believe we had a coach that showed leadership last year, we would have easily been the Raptors and we would have beat the Warriors. I believe Fred Brown cost the attempt. I do believe so.
Well, but let me ask you a question off of that. No, I get it. The only thing about laying the loss at Toronto at his feet is the big issue in that series with Toronto was Embiid missing the key game, right? You're up 2-1, about to go up 3-1, and then Embiid has the tummy ache. Now, I don't know if that's your point is what? That if Brett is a hard ass or a harder coach, more disciplined coach, that doesn't happen? That would be maybe.
I also believe that there are games, like critical games that we lost last year in the playoffs due to not being able to, you know, maintain composure, the whole team, like little stupid errors in playoffs. And I believe that teams that are well coached don't do little errors like that, especially
I'm not arguing with you, but my only point would be, are they ready at that age that they are, right? Because remember, it's their last year was their second foray into the playoffs, right? You got your team of youth. Teams of youth make those kinds of mistakes. I saw the Bulls do it when Jordan was there before they won a title. You saw these teams on the way make such mistakes. I mean, ultimately, come down to what you're saying too, Chris, which is, all right, they went through that period. Now they need a new voice to take it to the next period.
Yes, I do believe so. I believe that Brett Brown, of course, I do believe he has he's a good coach. Because, I mean, he has won, like, 50 over 50 games last season. So, I mean, he's a horrible coach. I just don't believe the guy to take us to the promised land. And I believe that if we would have kept Jimmy and we would have let go of Brett Brown, I believe that we would have been way better in 60 at this moment.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a great discussion. And thank you, Chris. Enjoyed the conversation, buddy. The only thing is that the answer could be no Brett, no Jimmy. Not Brett or Jimmy.
Right.
Because there's a piece of me that still, while I think he's a hell of a player, I still don't know that I trusted him. Do I trust him or is he a hassa?
Like Alshon.
Well, you know, he's got some high side in him.
So you think even if Brett was gone after last year, Jimmy might not have been back?
I don't fully trust him.
Right.
I mean, you? I don't know how you can.
No, I try to just look at the player. No, I can be right. What you're saying.
Listen, I loved him. Like, don't.
Yeah,
again,
he's the best.
I love him. He's a man. I love him as a player. You hear all these stories about him and how. He's disruptive.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's one thing after another.
I'm not telling you one way or another, other than I like his game. I always loved his game. I love the fact that he's an alpha. I love that. But I just don't know, is he a hassa as an alpha?
I wonder if...
I don't think he's an Alshon, but I think he's difficult to deal with.
I wonder if he and Ben could have gotten along over an extended period of time. I get the him and Joel thing. Right, like he didn't like Karl Anthony Towns because Karl Anthony Towns was soft. Embiid, I don't want to say Embiid's not soft, but
I'll tell you, the idea that they have a bromance was highly overrated.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
At least from what I heard.
Okay.
That there's no bromance with him and Joe either.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I saw two of them on the podium at times.
Listen, those guys are a master at manipulating,
in front of the camera, yeah.
manipulating the public.
Yes.
Nobody wants to be the bad guy.
That's true.
Right.
Well, maybe Jimmy does like being the bad guy.
Right. But like, even then, you saw what he said to J.J. Redick.
Right. All right.
Am I that difficult? He's telling, am I that difficult to work with? And JJ's going,
he kind of threw TJ under the bus.
Not really. It'd be like the asking the bro, is Cuz too difficult to work with? He'd go,
No, he'd say no.
You'd say no. He'd say,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.